side of the homepage under community events.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Passport to Empowerment on Friday, October 18th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Vitalidad Movement Arts Center in Portland.
Passport to Empowerment will raise funds to support projects in rural communities and around the world to improve access to affordable and renewable energy, safe drinking water and sanitation systems, fuel-efficient cook stoves, and more.
Again, that's Passport to Empowerment on Friday, October 18th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Vitalidad Movement Arts Center, 116th Southeast Yamhill Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating but scared to kick reality.
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Yes, yes, what up? It's Calculated Conversation Radio Show, back in the house.
Yes.
Your host David and
Ken Jones.
Got Ken Jones in the house. We coming off a nice vibe, nice weekend, and wanted to make sure we stay tuned in and connected with our peoples out there.
Righteous.
Make sure the love is spread consistently and visually if you on Facebook, Facebook Live, you know, right now. Remember, we go live every Sunday from our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's Calculated Conversation Radio Show on Facebook.
Yes.
Like the page. You can see the live shows, or you can just listen on KBU every Tuesday, you right. know. So either way, you can get it how you want it. What's up, bro? How we feeling?
Hey, feeling good.
Yeah.
Still riding the wave.
Yeah, still riding the wave, man. For the people that are paying attention, then you know that we, you know, took a trip yesterday to Oregon State Correctional Institution to present the idea of Calculated Conversation to several inmates, about 30 of them, mm-hmm. And a couple of the staff and, you know, other group managers were there too. Leanne was one. I'm trying to think of the other ladies now. I hope she's not mad at me. I'm going to have to check my email again.
I want to say it was Kathy, but I think I'm being too generic.
It was a lot going on.
Yeah.
We know it wasn't Susan.
Nah.
But, you know, at any rate, you know, we had a good time. And big, big, huge, huge shout out to Chris, man. Like Chris Lambert.
Wendy. Her name is
Wendy. Oh, Wendy. Yeah. Shout out to Wendy. There shout out to Leanne. They were super nice, man. They walked us in. You know, came and met us at the gate. Supported the movement. They gave us great vibes the whole way. Great conversation way before we even got inside.
Yeah.
You know, like they were really passionate about us being there. You know, and they made it, you know, in a collaboration effort, everybody made it happen. So yeah. that was powerful, man.
I think we definitely even probably took them by surprise even much more than what they were thinking, mm-hmm. just based on the initial conversation.
Right, right, right.
I feel like their temperature, they warmed up even more on the way out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, off top. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Off top. Yeah, they, you know, you never know what to expect, you know. So I'm sure they was like, okay, like, you know, what twist are they going to bring to this, you know, this change, you right. know. And
I was thinking when we first went in and you had asked her if she had listened to any of them. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah. He was like, what'd you think? She was like, yeah, it was. And I was like, that wasn't a... And I was like, I wonder what episode she came across.
Right.
I was like, that's what started running through my head. Cause I just laughed. It wasn't like a yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think her getting it live though, well, and well, seeing how it was done.
Well, we ain't had no ratchet episodes, have we?
Yeah, not at all. But I think it just maybe caught a casual one where we wasn't really going on the deep dive.
Yeah, cause, like, yeah, some shows have been like way more impactful and powerful than right. others. I feel like they've all been good, but some was yeah. just some just hit the bullseye right. You know, like just one of them random shows where we just nailed it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe she didn't get that one yet, but what she saw is in person. So I mean, that's
it don't get no
sometimes
better.
That's better than you know seeing us or hearing us on the radio, or at least more impactful. But nonetheless, man, you know, first of all, again, Chris Lambert put that together,
shout
man. Big big shout out to Chris, man behind bars. You know, got some years left. You know, still, you know, trying to. trying to fight the case, you know, hopefully he, you know, wins an appeal or something he was working on, he was right. telling me. But if not, you know, I know he's still staying strong and he's still pushing and like he's getting his movement started before he's even hit the streets yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like typically, I mean, you don't really see a whole lot of inmates, you know, that, you know, find themselves on that level and can't wait to get out to actually start doing things. And so they start inviting people in,
right.
you know, either way, like he was insistent on having the conversation and insistent on making sure that, that we pulled up, you know, and so that was a big reflection of what he did and the work he put in. And it took some time. It was a lot of red tape, dealing with the, you know, Oregon State prison system, you know, is crazy, man. Like, I don't know why I was nervous.
Hey.
I don't know why I was nervous, man. I was like, I'm going, like, I'm voluntarily going to prison and walking inside the gate. Like, I'm like, are they going to let us leave? Like, you know, but.
I think we both had that moment of driving up. Yeah. Like, this is really real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we really walking in here, handing over IEDs, throwing keys in the,
right.
in the little locker.
Right. You know, so. But, you know, again, you know, we knew what we was doing it for and we knew it had to be done and we knew how important it was. And, you know, we made the sacrifice and took the drive down there, man. And, you know, had a ball, man. It was amazing.
Hey. And right. how long I was trying to pay attention to the time. Was it an hour and a half or 2 hours?
Supposed to be 2 hours, but I feel like around. I feel like we told our stories for almost 45 minutes, you know, and then we got into. Calculated conversation, and then we got. I think they took us to questioning right around 7:30.
Okay,
I think.
Okay,
or maybe
it was, no, it had to been before that.
Seven, I think.
Yeah, yeah, because we was going
cause around 6:30
is when they stopped us. That's when she jumped in and was like, "We, you know, get the last few questions or whatever going, and then mingle."
Yeah. So, but you know, it was great. You know, the vibes was good. You got a lot. We had about 30 men in there, guys that have been in there for a long time, or that are going to be in there for a long time, listening, paying attention, asking questions, grateful, appreciative, you know, pleasant, you know, communicative, you know, respectful. All these good things that you don't expect. That society don't expect from, you know, people that are in prison, you know, judging, thinking that everybody's an animal or everybody deserves to be there. And, you know, just when you don't understand and you don't have empathy, you know, sometimes you judge in those situations. But, you know, it was amazing. And the guys there was nothing less than spectacular, man. I'm telling you, they made us feel at home.
Right.
You know, and these guys, you know, some of these guys got, you know, rough charges. You know, there was some murder charges in there. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
you know, my guy was like, yeah, man, you know, I got a 25 with an L, man. But, you know, tell everybody I said, what's up?
Right.
You know, but, you know, it was a blessing, man. It was a blessing to make that connection, you know. And I know it's important to them, you know, to see, you know, two dudes come from off the streets to come in there, you know, to spread that energy and spread that conversation. Knowing we don't really have to, knowing like we not demanded to, and knowing it's voluntary, you know, that we actually care about them and what they're going through.
Right.
You know, when I feel like a lot of people just kind of carry on with their life. But, you know, I think that's big of us, man, to go back in there and take that step and sacrifice the time and the energy, you know, to go spread the message and try to keep the hope alive.
Right.
For people that could easily be losing it all.
Fast.
You know?
You know, I take my takeaway from it, you know, kind of recapping back through my mind, which was sitting down, you know, initially getting there, coming up to the front. That was one of the things when the lady gave us the leeway to, like, you know, you guys figure it out, do it how you want to do it. That's why I grabbed a chair. I was like, I don't want to be up here standing and everybody else is sitting.
Right, right, like, exactly.
We're going to sit down together. We pulling up to the table. We all at the table together.
Right,
so that was my, you know, intention and point with that. Sitting down, and once the exchange started going, we talked about it a little bit on the way home. We're, you know, seeing the crowd. And, of course, everybody's like, what is this about to be?
Right.
You know, of course, Chris knew. He probably told his little squad, like, what it was about, right? Mm. But outside of that, people had to warm up to it, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And once we kind of got flowing and kind of seeing, people were paying attention, right? Attentive,
right?
Could have been, you know, it's easy to zone out when people are talking, especially for an extended period of time, right? But that wasn't happening. And then watching through that process, more and more people engaging, the head nods,
mm-hmm.
you know, both things being said in agreement as the conversation is happening,
mm-hmm.
right? And then after getting past, you know, just giving our dialogue to them, the questions, where these were thought out questions, layered questions,
right,
that were really hitting and getting past just some general, like, how did you guys start this? You know what I mean? Right. They had questions that, and not only that, but being able to have the feedback, having feedback, and then them to have a follow up, you know what I mean? Like a real exchange.
Yeah.
And then after that, when it was like, you know, here's the mingle time, like stood there and made sure I hugged everybody that walked by me.
Right.
Yeah, it was. Right. And how many of them was like, this was inspiring.
Right.
Like this was.
Yeah.
Had a guy saying he was going to start keeping the journal after I kept mentioning that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was kind of dope. And then getting the conversation where it was a couple people did say, you know, I'm doing life. It ain't something, but this is something I want to keep up with. And then being asked, when are we coming back? That was the other thing, is when is the next one,
right?
That was the huge. And then our conversation, you know, after everybody left and Chris and his guys was right there and us just kind of sitting and having that powwow for that last 10 minutes, to realize that, you know, this is for the forgotten to a certain extent,
right?
This is the demographic of people. It's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of them, right? And to be able to connect just on a human level, right, where respect really is everything, and being able to connect on that, have your words and your path be felt, right? Because somebody can identify with that,
right?
You know, it's the Leanna was, you know, her saying, like, you know, she does the life coach stuff, and it's like, that's great, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't have that experience,
right?
You know, no knock on it, right?
Of course.
But the idea that now that we're here having this conversation, we're coming with that experience,
right?
We know what it's like to be on this program,
right?
And then also to be on this path we're on now,
right?
And all the steps in between that. So having that conversation, knowing that some of them were getting to the point, coming pretty close to parole and so on after spending a crazy amount of time in there, and taking this stuff as far as and adding this to their program to come, what they're gonna do once leaving out of there,
right?
And it's like, one, to really make sure we put a push on trying to get back in there,
right?
And thinking this next go around of having like some handouts or something that has like the information, email and all that kind of stuff, social, so that people can check out and have some back and forth. If people want to email in some of their questions, you know what I mean? And that's and that was another piece. We're getting some questions that people had, and I'm taking, you know, took it home and got the information, and we're gonna get it back out there for them, because they wanted to try to start up a podcast inside of there, and which I think the world needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's what, I mean, the Ear Hustle podcast paved the way, which is out of San Quentin prison, but getting one here and having that set up to be able to have men speak on their experiences, that's a form of therapy. We talk about that all the time with this.
This
is a form of that. And being able to be heard, because we all got a story and it's worth hearing. That big point that I made yesterday, that you have... you have your charge, you got your charge, and you got your DOC number, and that's what your profile essentially is built off of when staff and so on are looking at this.
Right.
They're building that whole profile out of a decision made, right? Usually a single or a couple of decisions made that got them to that point. Not taking into account, this is a whole complex human being that has made many a decisions that say the opposite of what those charges say.
Right, exactly.
And those are not the thoughts that run through people's head just up front.
Right.
And so being able to have an outlet and to be able to talk, and you get your story out there, people start understanding, like, oh, you're not just this.
Right.
Right. Exactly. We all share a lot of commonalities, especially when it comes to fears, joys, everything in the gambit. And if you sit and listen to somebody for a second and get past that piece of, in this situation, a charge, then you find out they're human.
Right.
And that's at the end of the day. A majority of people just want to have that respect and feel heard, feel seen.
Yep.
And respected.
Yeah, and that's a big part of, you know, and the blessing behind it all is, this is a big part of the idea and the importance of calculated conversation. So what that entails is that, you know, it's assuming that there's information that's missing, that's keeping people from a level of awareness that will make them comfortable enough to be able to build and work together.
Yes.
And trust.
That part.
You know what I'm saying? And so as they put on the podcast, as we go in there and talk to them so they can connect with the outside world, we having those conversations that they're missing. Right. And as we come back out here, you know, we speak back to the world, we report back, and now you have information that you're missing.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
So we fill in the gaps, you know, and really taking this calculated conversation thing to your heart, and we want people to talk more and to be heard more, and you know, to be aware of each other more.
Right.
But again, you know, like you said, a lot of people in there are doing a lot of time. I seen a lot of men in there with real hearts. I looked in their eyes, and I could tell that some of them had a lot of love in them. One thing we got to understand about people behind bars, and obviously there's always variables, you know, there's no 100% nothing, but there are some people in there, you know, who simply just really didn't have a clear definition of what success was, you know, and I always like to talk about that because that's what kind of drives your decisions to do what you do. You know, and so we talked a lot about patience. We talked a lot about immediate gratification and the relationship with that and being in prison. Right. And you know what I'm saying? And that's all like the gateway. You know, so having more patience, you know, being more understanding, you know, following your following the, or you know what they say, like dance to the beat of your own drum. Yes, is that what they say? You know? You know, just being yourself. And it's hard to be yourself sometimes when you're raised in a society that is teaching you, you know, from the day you step out into the world, that this is the way everybody does things. Mm-hmm. You know, like it takes a really, really, really strong, mentally emancipated individual to be able to grow up in an environment and completely separate itself from it. Even we couldn't do that. You know, that's something we had to learn over time. After re-evaluating the formula and, you know, being a part of the process of unlearning, you know, and that's how we're able to, you know, understand these things and have these conversations. And that's how we're able to see the benefit of calculated conversation. And so we got to be careful when it just comes to, you know, writing guys off because they're in prison, you know, you know, like, and obviously, some people deserve to be there, you know, some people don't. Some people have been, you know, wrongfully convicted, you know. Some people just had a tough life and did never really been shown any love, you know. And so I feel like when we go in there and we show that kind of love, I feel like we bring hope, you know, we bring understanding, you know, we bring faith in oneself, you know. You know, you get questions that you can tell have got people examining themselves and what they're going to do now. So now they're looking at themselves, which is what we need people to do, is to look at ourselves.
Right.
You know, because only from then can we start to create, I think, a plan of action based off things that we actually have control over.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's the beauty of it. And so when we get in questions like, okay, so you know, they're asking questions to us like, okay, so you on this move, you know, you being independent, you know, you staying spiritual, you trying to do the right things, get around the right people. How do I react when old situations come back in my life? You know, how do I react when, you know, I'm addicted to certain ideas of the game that I know?
Yeah.
And how am I going to handle that when I get out? Because I know for a fact I'm going to be faced with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they already doing the homework.
Right.
You know, which right. is, I think, is a beautiful thing. Because they already planning to, right. they already planning that, you know, and so what they're doing is they're trying to calculate early, right. you know, and that's, again, that's what we want. So we was really grateful. Again, surrounded by some great men. I felt a lot of love in there, you know, yeah. I felt the vibe of some amazing hearts too.
Right.
And gratuity or being grateful, gratitude, you know what I mean, is what I seen in everybody's face. I right. just seen gratitude. We looked around, everybody was staring at us. Everybody was nodding their head. People were shaking their head, and they were asking questions, and they were squinting their eyes, listening and learning and coming up with questions. And you can't buy an interaction like that. You know what I mean? Like, you really can't put a price on the importance of that kind of conversation in that place, with the people that's actually having it.
Right.
All from the same place, but learning the formulas and being able to talk about those and show. I'm like, we've been through this stuff. And so this is, and you talked about everything in between. We've right. been on this side, we've been on this side, and our gift is being aware of everything in between right. and try to properly, you know, deliver that information to people we know that's coming up against some of those, you know, some of those barriers.
Righteous.
You know, so
it was one of the things too I got a lot of energy from was hearing towards the end when we were kind of, you know, interacting with people with them talking about their plans, talking about their goals after getting out of there,
right?
And also what they're doing now to make that go, since right. you know, setting up stuff, but actually having it mapped out to a certain extent,
right?
And one of the questions they got asked was kind of, you know, how for the people that wait until like they get out to try to change and make these changes, that doesn't work,
right?
Essentially, right?
Of course.
It's having to get your routines down now,
right?
And get working towards that. It made me think, and I didn't say it last night, but it was like that idea that you dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have,
right? Right?
I remember hearing that years ago. I was like, oh, interesting, right? But it's that point that if once you have it for you, then it becomes you,
right? Right?
And
right.
like one of the points that I made last night also had to do with the idea of the labels, right? The labels that are put upon us,
right,
based on our actions, based on our, you know, misinformation. These labels that are put upon us, and then getting to a point where that's out. Now this is what I'm labeling myself. I'm no longer operating under that system, right?
Right.
Now this is how I'm going to operate based on what I want life to be for myself.
Right.
And
right.
once you start operating under that, that becomes your calling card. Now you've created you, right? So now you're not operating out of anything except the structure that you set in place. And that's a hell of a thing. Again, I'm joking.
I like
people
that.
Laughing when I told them, like, I'm Costco dad at this point. Like, I'm good. I'll be as corny as ever, forever, and be okay with that.
Yeah, I love that, bro. That was tight, that label thing. And it was really feeding into that label idea, because they understand how powerful they are, and they know that they played a part in
Man.
And being defined by labels that didn't actually fit who they were internally or where they wanted to go. You know, and then the way, you know, you was able to turn that around and let them know, like, define your own label. You tell them who you are.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing, when you turn society on its back, they don't tell you who you are anymore. They can't. You know, there's nothing, they can't make you do anything. You know, like, you realize that, dang, I have the power.
Right.
I've always had the power. You know, that's like the Last Dragon, dude. Didn't he say that? Didn't the Last Dragon say that? But you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when the what happened with when he realized he had the power, he just rose up, you know? And all too often, you know, our power is really, really distributed externally. It's always outside of us, typically. And we was raised to think that. But at some point, we just got to realize that's not a healthy process, you know. And so talking to them about unlearning, you know, toxic habits, you know, just double checking your childhood, like going back and referencing some of your, you know, formulas your family taught you, even maybe your mom, your mechanic uncles, you know what I'm saying, like your friends, anybody, you know, who might have, you know, fed you some stuff that doesn't typically work. Like, we have to learn to just question these things and make sure that they still make sense, you know, in the long run. And so typically all the questions that they ask me, the best thing that I could do is keep showing them a picture of the future.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the only thing that's going to help you do things at this level. If you don't know what this looks like, and then it doesn't matter what you do today.
Right.
If you don't know what a healthy relationship look like, it's okay to be in and out of toxic relationships. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know what you want to do for a living,
right,
it's okay to just take little jobs at the gas station or fast food. You know what I'm saying? So all these things based on, I don't really know what I want to do yet. But once you know where you see yourself, and then your choices and actions, just they just naturally start to line up in that direction. As long as you vibrating frequently and powerfully, you know, it can happen for anybody, you know. But it really does start with you, you know. And I continue to share the sentiment that the best thing you can do for somebody, you know, the world is going to be the way it's going to be, you know. Politics going to be the way they're going to be. Racism is going to be what it is. You know, the separatism, the, you know, everything is going to be what it is. The bottom line is, the best thing you can teach somebody is how to control their mind and how to process the information that comes into it.
Hey.
You know, as you begin to master that, you begin to master yourself. And then no matter what's going on in the world, you start to be able to navigate where you want inside of it, you know. And that's the power that we regain back. You know, and we really got to start utilizing, you know, our own internal gifts and passions and joys and, you know, and pleasantries. You know what I mean?
And, you know, a great point that got made about that exact thing when we were walking out was the difficulty sometimes in figuring that part out.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes time. And there was, it's crazy how stuff just be tying in and just across a lot of the stuff of reading, listening to, along with the stuff we talk about, and then conversations that are had outside of just us. But it was this idea of, there was this dude that was talking about personal branding. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is all that my company does. We don't work with companies. It's individuals who are trying to brand themselves. Right. And he was like, the biggest part is that, a biggest part of that is getting people to understand what exactly are you trying to sell?
Right.
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 As far as yourself, not, right. not the product, item, but yeah. the product. And going through to have that understanding of essentially who are you, what drives you.
Right.
And that may seem fairly easy. Like, I think a lot of people's cop out in that is my kids. Like, great. And I don't knock anybody that that's their driving force. That may be the saving grace. But there has to be something in addition to that.
Right.
There has to be something within you. And that can be, you know, one of your muses. But you also have to have something in it that's purely for you. Because there, what's the term? Altruistic, where true altruism is doing something with no, you get 0% out of it, right? There's nothing that you get out of it. You're just doing good things just for the sake of it. And I think that's one of them ideas that essentially we're all selfish to a certain degree. We get something. It may not be monetary. It may be a good feeling. It may be a rush that we get from doing things, but we're still getting something out of it. And one of the things that to way to highlight that is, if there's a group photo, right, and you're in the group photo, mm-hmm. who's the first face you look for?
Mine.
Exactly. So understand, we're about us.
Tell them to take it again. I didn't like that one.
Run it back.
Yeah.
But that's one of those things that we they're inherent. We're looking for us.
Right.
It's about us. So there has to be something in here. And yes, kids are a great motivator, mm-hmm. right? But find out, if kids were not in this, what would it be then?
Right.
Would you just stop existing?
Right.
No. So that's the thing. Figure that thing out.
Yeah.
That's, if people took time to kind of dive into that, and that's why I was kind of giving the guys the thing of sitting with yourself. You write these lists out about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because it's easy to tell, you know, in conversation, you tell people the good things, right? Typically, people ask the cool things about you, but then when you get those questions, are like, you know, where are the areas you could improve on?
Right.
Not so many people. I've got an answer. I got a couple of them. But you hit people with that, and a lot of times it's like,
never thought about that.
Yeah, and they've thought about it. They know exactly what it is, but they're not quick to share that piece.
Right.
But having to really dive into that. Another one of the points that I made yesterday was understanding with the way where our triggers are at, right? And what are the things that make us act a certain way?
Right.
And it could even be a happy feeling. And I mentioned about the smell of burnt hair or freshly pressed hair.
Right.
Like that. I've had that for so many years, of a smell that calms me down and makes me feel like, huh.
Right.
And driving in my car just last week connected the dots. That was the last time my family was all together.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, dad, sister, brothers in the house.
Yeah, you didn't know that last time we talked about it.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. And it popped in my head. And that was the root of why that I'm attached to that.
Mm,
right?
That's
a trigger of messed up feeling there. And with that, what do 27 minutes?
Okay.
With that being said, if you can get to the root of that, then you can recognize why this feeling is arising when you're having a conversation with somebody or you're having an exchange and something throws you off, and you can realize, like, no, this has nothing to do with them.
Right.
This piece is not them. This is tied to something unrelated.
Right.
But it seems so familiar. My brain is grouping it in with
naturally.
Them.
Yeah.
That's what's being done. And I think taking time about self and really exploring self and being able to capture that, and you'll be able to eliminate a lot of miscommunication.
Yeah.
With yourself.
Right.
It's not even externally. A lot of it is with yourself, because your feelings have got stirred up and you're confused as to why you're feeling like this. The amount of times you've done something and then sat back like, man, I was tripping.
Right.
That's you don't feel justified. Now, if you do something wild and you feel justified in it, then that might have actually been an offense. That might have been something that actually you felt disrespected by. But a lot of times it's like, oh.
In hindsight?
That went way too far.
Right.
Oh, because it wasn't even that serious.
Right.
I'm linking this to something completely different.
Right, yeah.
That.
That's kind of, I just feel like that's like a lasting effect of like a lot of trauma. And I just think people are not dealing with it and choose to ignore it. And I think I also think that possibly they think that somebody else will fix it.
That,
you know, like that. Like getting in a new situation, I think people feel like, well, this is gonna repair all my trauma, you know, this is gonna make me forget about what I've been through. Until you realize, you know, you naturally get flashbacks, you know. And I've dealt with several people that just naturally got flashbacks, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
You know, but you know, other than that, you know, like it's you know, we don't want to get too far off track, but you know, we loved it, man. And we can't wait to go back. You know, they got other things they wanted to talk about with us. It was funny because we first walked in there, and like as soon as we walked into prison, man, like they was looking at our clothes and our outfits, like, hey, man, you got some dope Air Max, man. Right. Like, oh, they take it. So they literally started almost following us into the room where we were speaking at. And then once we got in there, like everybody wanted to come in there and listen, but they only had room for 30, you know. So we kind of wish that, you know, we had more people. I would have liked to have been a full assembly. I would have been able to handle that. You know what I mean?
I like the intimate. Like I'm a fan of that, because that's, again, it's I don't ever want to be, not, let me not say ever. I enjoy more when I'm not feeling like I'm on the stage.
Oh,
like
right.
Feeling that I'm a part.
That's why you got here. The chair. Yeah.
So for me, that's where I feel like the impact, it resonates. Because we're not having to be on a speaker, we're right here. It's our voice, so right. we essentially just talking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But definitely, if it was something where we could do this with multiple groups.
Yeah, I told him to set it up with a different 30 dudes or something next time.
Yeah,
and we'll head back up there.
Yeah.
And you know, he was like, "Well, if you want to go to OSP, you know, we have connections over there, and you know, so everything just gonna grow from there."
Right.
You know, but it was a highlight of the Calculated Conversation radio show. On the way back, me and Karen just talking about how all this even came to fruition. You know, it was just, you know, a crazy, crazy universe call, you know, just from, you know, bumping into each other, having these conversations in random places that we, you know, saw each other in public, and then talking, and, you know, the talk's going 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and, you know, and then it comes to, oh, now we got a show about it, and oh, now we going into prison. You know, like, you just never know where the energy is going to lead you, you know. And I think that's why it's important to let go of everything that you thought you wanted to do and connect with, you know, the higher spiritual being, whatever that might be. It could be whatever guides you to be better. It don't have to be specific, but I think it's important just to understand that we know it's bigger than us, you know. And that was a huge, huge message I sent to the guys yesterday. You know, get a hold of something bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
When you can't make a decision, it will.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's how you answer those tough questions. And so when we get in scenarios where decisions is tough, we don't know what to do, and you know, whatever, it's like, you know, it's like we questioning the bigger picture. You know, there's a part of us that knows when we're doing the wrong thing.
Hey.
And you know, and that's pretty much, that's your energy, and that's your vibes telling you that, you know, you're in the wrong place, and you know it.
Right.
Some people continue to do it anyway, and they make their own decisions. And so, you know, and like I told him, life just gets a little easier, man, when you don't really have to make all those tough decisions, you know, when you just kind of go with the, you know, with the beat of the drum and the universe, and it takes you to the right places, and it brings you to the right people in the right circumstances, and everything makes sense after a while, you know. And so that's why you have to do that. That's why, you know, understanding is bigger is important, you know.
Doggy. So, think about,
oh, let's get some shots out real quick. Oh. Jay Wilder, what up? You know, we want to show some, we want to encourage people to watch us live on Facebook, so we definitely giving shots out. Shout out to Mariah Nicole. Thank you for your comment. She said, I think it's so, can we say that?
D-A-M.
Cool. I'm scared. Okay, we're going to fire me, man. I think it's so dang cool that y'all went and did that. And so do we. We loved it. We enjoyed it. And it was a big blessing and a big milestone for what we represent, I think.
Yeah, I think that was a benchmark for real.
You know, that's definitely one of the toughest toughest parts of life that they're in, you know, all hope can be lost in them situations, and anything coming in there that's giving you some type of insight to think different, to believe different, to connect to something higher, you know, can be very well welcomed in there, right. You know. Yeah, so Jay Wilder, what up? Mariah, Melissa Sykes, what's happening?
Hey, hey, hey.
Jay Yo Robo.
Jay.
Jay Yo, Ursula.
Hey.
I think that's Ken's friend.
Hey.
Let me see.
I think that last piece, though, before you jumped into the shout outs, of leaving them off with that idea of connecting to something higher.
Right.
Attaching everything to that, kind of like that's the North Star, essentially. No matter where you at, you can look up, and if you can see that North Star, you can find your way.
Right, right.
That's your North Star. Figuring your North Star out, right. And essentially, when those times get crazy, you look at that to realign.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what that is. And I love the way you framed it, though. It's like, it's not about a religion and so on. You just find that thing and have the understanding that it is bigger than you.
Yep.
Be spiritual about it.
Yep.
It was, I think another piece that was cool to just see was, as you said, it's 30 people in here, and they're taking it in.
Yeah.
Like this, my survey of a room is serious, right? And so while I'm talking, I'm in eyeballs all through the room. I'm talking to here, we here. And watching some of the people that were, I feel like it took a little bit longer, and watching them get in and them ask a couple of them having some good questions towards the end.
Good questions,
some good questions. And then going into that moment of, you know, the mixing and the mingling, where it was like these handshakes and these hugs, these were real handshakes and real hugs.
No,
these were real thank yous.
Right.
This wasn't like, oh, we out for a little bit and ain't got to do our regular routine.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, we opposite football teams and you smacked us and we got to walk by with the handshake. All right.
A little fingertip taps.
No, that was man, I really appreciate you coming here.
Yeah.
I truly appreciate
it.
I felt the vibe from every single inmate in there.
Righteous.
You know, like some didn't speak, but you can, you know, you know, it was written all over their face, man.
See, that was, I don't know. That was all things. And then even, you know, taking away from that, our walk back, that opened up with the volunteer with me and Leanne the conversation went even deeper once we left out of there.
Right.
I think they were able to see on the spot, not just what we had prepared to talk about, but then having questions that this is not scripted.
Yeah,
so at that point, we're going back and forth.
Right.
And essentially, no matter what words we're using, you know, what slang we're using in this, it's still the same message.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is the stuff that is in all these books. This is what people are going to school and being taught on a different level.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But we're breaking this down in a way that's understood and interpreted by the demographic that we appeal to.
Right, right.
And that's kind of, you know, we talked about, you know, even on our car ride back, of just really mapping through how this started, why it's picked up the momentum, and where we can see this going based off of that.
This is
a thing.
Yeah, this is bigger than what we thought.
And what we think. I think it's bigger than what we can even think right now.
Yeah, right. It's like we might not even realize what we built, you know, just being ourselves. But I mean, we got some really, really detailed, you know, forecast for calculated conversation that looked really, really nice and promising, you know.
And then we got to walk out.
Right. I thought I wasn't getting out of there. I was like, wait a second. I was like, how many gates? You know, but man, you know, you got to watch. They got to do what they got to do. But man, I just couldn't imagine, you know, like, and, you know, just having that empathy for a second of being in there and not being able to leave.
That.
If I wanted, if I did, you know, if they changed their mind for some reason, you know what I'm saying? Like,
look,
being thinking in the bathroom, you know, being like in there walking out and going through all these doors.
The background check came back.
Can we talk to you for a second?
You actually got a dub.
Yeah, we need you to stay one more night. Wait a minute.
He said, what, you an XL?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I got some shoes for you, you know, but, you know, so yeah, just, you know, we were able to, I know I was, I believe Cam was too, just able to empathize for a moment, you know, being in prison and not being able to leave and what that feels like.
Knowing that.
You know, and knowing what that feels like, you know, and then, you know, and walking out of there and just being blessed that, you know, we were able to walk out, you know what I'm saying? Like in that moment, like, I don't know. I mean, I felt a small blessing walking out. Did you?
No, it definitely is, because I just think about going back to, you know, points in life of wanting that more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
Just to, that feeling of like that countdown and be like, I got X amount of years left, X amount of years, X amount of months, X amount of, and actually walking out.
Yeah.
Like I in my mind, it's so crystal clear. I can tell you details down to my outfit, the color sock stitching that went across my toe.
Yeah.
First thing that I said, I remember all of that. Right. And that was what, 14 years ago, 15 years ago?
Right.
It's, and then to come full circle, coming back in on a different end.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And being able to walk out of that thing and be like, okay, not feel sad though walking out too, right? Right. Not feel like, because I felt that in that exchange in that room, it was on a high note, right? The energy that was in there, really, that was resounding, that joint, bouncing off them walls.
Yeah.
And leaving out of there, it was not so much of a bitter, it was like, we see each other again.
Yeah.
No matter what side, it's, we gonna see each other
right,
again.
Right.
And leaving that out there. And I think being able to, you know, be that liaison between these two worlds.
Yeah.
That's special.
Nah, truly, man. Truly. And, you know, and it brings us back in touch with just people that are in unfortunate circumstances at the moment. More empathy, more understanding, which makes it more important to go in there and support them, speak to them, speak life.
Yes.
I know I've gotten a couple of messages since I've been out already. You know, I sound like I was in jail, right? Since I've been out, you know, hitting us up and just saying, man, that was impactful. My guy hit me and said, you know, he was in the class and, you know, like, man, he wanted to stay in touch with you. And, you know, and so just being a part of this new movement of enlightenment, thinking, you know, critically calculating moves, thoughts, actions, you know, we blessed to be here, man. And the blessings come when the message gets shared, you know, and that's
message,
right. Blessings in the message, man. And, you know, that's what makes me whole. So I just felt super full all night, you know, like, man, I'm able to really go in there and do this. And I love doing it. That's the thing. Like, not like I love doing it, you know? And I mean, I wish it went longer.
Look, that was the part of really dialing in there. I caught myself, because it's a joke that I got, is where, you know, I'm comfortable at your house, depending on how I sit on your couch.
Right.
And I found myself doing the slouch in the chair. Like, I was too relaxed. And I was like, hold on, let me get up. Because we got going, and it felt like just talking to the homies. It felt like doing this.
Yeah,
it legitimately felt like doing this. And so I had to catch me like, okay, we still own. So let me perk back up a little bit. But another piece in there is that telling the story. And I kind of want to touch on that. It's like, even me listening in on you,
right,
and being like, yikes, catching more details, right? Mm-hmm. And knowing that it was people there in that room that knew your story, right? Or knew pieces of it, let's say that, right? Mm-hmm. And so sharing that and being comfortable in sharing that,
right?
I talked about how the more you tell it, the more polish you'll get it, for one. But then, I don't know if you were sitting when we were talking, I was talking with Wendy when before we went in. And she was talking about you were sitting there, and about the more she told the story about her son, like, it feels like a weight being lifted, right? Yeah. A burden is off of her for a moment. And something about that, being able to share what it is that you went through. We all got a crazy unique story, and everybody don't gotta have a wild background as far as street life, but everybody has a background and a backstory.
Right.
They've all faced adversity in their own way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no trauma. You can't measure that. There's no measuring stick for how something impacted somebody, right?
Right.
And knowing that that was a mother that lost her child, and coming in and having conversations about it, what it's done for her, to where now she can talk about it in a way that isn't so painful.
Right.
And doing it from a place that she knows it's not so much hurting her. She's passing on information of an experience.
Mm.
And there's an experience that people can identify with.
Right.
And that's the piece, is being able to get in there and give that. Why? Because that's a piece of healing for self.
Right.
Right. Because there's a lot of shame that's attached to being in prison.
Right. Right.
Having these things going on, there's a lot of shame that's attached to that. And that's one of the biggest things ever, is having that shame, and we carrying that shame, that guilt, and looking for a way to get past that,
right,
we typically try to stuff it so we don't appear as that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
But then there's something in being able to share that, own that, and also understand that that's not directly related to what you're now and your future can be,
right,
depending on what you want it to be,
right,
which was a point I made in there, understanding that, you know, your past, your then, your now, and what can be are not mutually exclusive,
right?
But that doesn't mean that you can, you need to keep carrying what was into what's now and what's in the future. You right. got to know when that no longer serves you. Yes, it's a part of your story. Yes, it's in line on the timeline of your life, but that don't mean you have to operate under those standards forever.
Right.
Being able to kind of let that go is one of the hardest things. Of course, we've identified yeah. ourselves based on a lot of this, right? Right? That was our calling card
right.
for a long time.
Right.
And getting to the point of being able to just cut that off, operate on your own accord, you know, running on your own belief system that you created, and not saying, you know, some people definitely did that even before, but they were just attaching it, you know, to the wrong things. Right, their ideals of success were definitely skewed.
Right, right. Of course.
Yeah. And so being able to come into that and just understand that we can keep doing this, sharing this story, getting people more comfortable in sharing their story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the bigger thing, is us being able to show that transparency and like, look, this is a part of it. You may not look at me and have a conversation and ever think that was a part of the path,
right.
but this is.
This is.
But I don't live there.
Right.
That's why you don't know much about it.
Right.
Because I don't live there, and that's what I'm basing yeah. my standard of me being a man and me being, you know, my testosterone is not stemming from that. My testosterone is stemming from these kids enjoying the things I do and being irritated by me.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes from.
Right.
You know? And so just those things having to kind of be modeled, but it comes through people like us being able to stand up and talk about this.
Right.
Put this out on the front street and not be embarrassed because we stumbled and we failed.
Right. And realizing that was actually extremely crucial. And, you know, I don't know who I would even be without all that, honestly, man. Sometimes, bro. So, you know, take your scars, man, and you know, take them for what they is and maximize, you know, off. You know, I mean, I just like, I don't know who said this, but it's just that idea of failure. You know, I'm so in love with failure because, like, that's what taught me everything I ever known. You know what I'm saying? And, like, not being scared to fail and, like, dropping that fear, you know, will really do wonders for a person, man.
It's like that analogy that I had written down a while back. That was the idea that babies are not afraid of falling.
Right.
Right? And you can take a lesson out of that, that you have to be in love with the idea of walking and running more than you're scared of the idea of falling.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you can watch your 8-month-old keep doing these tumbles.
Right.
Being wobbly leg. Right. But they keep getting themselves up and going for it.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's that one foot in front of the other. Now they're running. Now you can't catch them. Now they're running and hiding and jumping and climbing.
Right.
That's a part of the process.
And now you got to call Walmart security to help you find them.
They in a coat rack.
But yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that whole idea of failure, falling, I mean, that's so important to embrace those setbacks, you know, and that's really what creates the wisdom. That's where the wisdom comes from. And so, and that's why, you know, people in prison, I mean, to me, I mean, I just think that's the perfect place to become wise. I don't know if I'm being weird or saying that or what, but I just feel like it almost don't get no lower than that unless you did, you know what I mean?
And I wouldn't even say lower. I would say that as an adult, you really have no other time that you have so much time to focus. If that's what you're choosing to do,
right?
You have the time to sit here and go in. You can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn a trade, and not just by a program offered through literature. Right. You know, that was the piece that I kind of threw in there with them about, you know, you get one of these books about how to create, and you've got the time to set this stuff up.
Right.
You know, I don't know how the internet access and stuff necessarily works up, but it's online courses for stuff and being able to sit and make that a part of your routine. That's it.
Right.
And if you really want to, that's something that you're really bent on trying to make happen for yourself. You have almost no other time as far as being an adult where you'll have time like that.
Right.
So I feel like that's one of the best places to be able to get, I wouldn't say a recommended place.
Right. Right.
Right? But if circumstances put you in that place, use it.
All right. We'd prefer you get it from college, you know, if that doesn't work for everyone, there's other places that will teach you.
Yeah.
But, you know, just the opportunity for wisdom, you know, and you know, being open-minded and like, you know, I need to learn something new. I need to figure out a new way to doing things, you know. And I think a lot of the questions that stem from that, you know, like, and you know, maybe some of the guys, maybe that wasn't some of their first times in there, you know, possibly. But they had questions, you know, basically already assuming I know what obstacles I'm gonna hit when I get out, and I want to be ready for those, you know. And that shows growth to me.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So we met some really good people in there, man. Some really nice gentlemen. Wide-eyed, inspired, you know, thinking about their next move, you know, and just really appreciated the visit and the conversation. And they showed us so much love, man. Like, you just, you know, everybody just sometimes it's easy to judge people that's, you know, behind bars. But, you know, some people crazy, man, whatever. But, you know, a lot of people got a lot of love in them, you know, and they show it. And they don't really let their mistakes define who they are.
That.
You know, and that's important not to do that, because a mistake is just a prelude to wisdom, you know, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I just made that up. I just made that up. Write that down. Who else joined? Gary Jones, what's up, man? We appreciate you pulling up. Anybody else on there that we can shout out?
Damn, I got to scroll down.
We got like 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody typed the question up.
Let me see. I can't.
Melissa Andriotti.
Scroll.
Onik. Oh, it won't scroll.
Yeah, it's been.
But yeah, no, we just giving shots out. Just keep in mind, again, everything is. This is live on our Calculated Conversation Radio Facebook page. So, you know, feel free, you know, to watch, to tune in. The show will be up Tuesday as well. But you know, some people want to see us.
Yes.
Let me see what you guys look like, and if you look like you're serious about what you're talking about. You're doing a lot of preaching, buddy.
It's a good job.
I think Melissa said a mistake is a prelude to wisdom. Yeah, where'd that come from?
Hey, from within.
Yeah, that was tight. Thanks for writing that, Melissa. I'm gonna have to write it too. Let me see who else. Alicia Rogers, what's happening with you? Appreciate you pulling up. Don't know how long you've been there. I feel like this page is refreshing at a slow rate or something.
I said 8-8-8.
Might have tapped in 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, she been on there. I saw that pop up.
Okay. And so, and remember, as far as Instagram go, we at Calculated Conversation, Gmail, calculatedconversation@gmail, website, www.calculatedconversation.com.
Mm.
And yeah, that was smooth. Twitter, we at Calculated Talk. So, you know, just tap in and spread the movement. You know, like, if you know people that can use this conversation, and or, you know, that'd be interested in just, you know, listening and or vibing and, you know, just opening up, you know, send them over. You know, we always appreciate, you know, new people joining and, you know, listening and giving us feedback and stuff like that.
And another thing too, for our dedicated listeners out there, if you guys happen to know somebody that would be interested in doing some intern type work for us to kind of help keep things flowing on our socials and yeah, just helping to kind of push the brand.
We want you to support one of the most important shows on radio.
Hey, so make sure and have them reach out. They can hit us on the page, DM us on any of the platforms, or email us at thecalculatedconversation@gmail. But just, we want to start really giving you guys the content that you guys are deserving of,
right?
And making sure this stuff is flowing in a certain type of way. And you know, the juggle can be real sometimes. We doing this, you know, on our own accord,
right?
Busy man, and would love to be able to, you know, add to this team. We want to make sure that we're expanding and we're getting out the stuff that we need to be getting out, and it's time we get that done,
right? So if you got ideas, or you know, you've been an avid, you know, follower, supporter, and you know, you see things that you think would benefit more listeners, I mean, right. We, you know, feel free to tap in, you know, call us, pull up to the station, come listen to a show live, you know.
Yes.
We open-minded to that, you know. We just want to make sure we make the connections, and that you know, that we stand firm on why we're here and why we're doing this, and try to keep people involved. You know, and again, we all learning as well, you know. So even going into, you know, OSCI yesterday, I mean, I feel like we learned a lot about other people as well. So, you know, we're not closed-minded to where we think we know it all. We know a few things, and we need to learn more. We want to learn more. So teach us.
We just want to keep building, keep growing, keep building, keep growing.
Everybody's our teacher.
Hey.
You know, so.
I wonder, I know we talked, we haven't necessarily let the cat out of the bag on some of the plans coming up.
Oh, shoot. Sounds like Christmas.
Hey. But it is some things being worked on to really, really get calculated to the next level.
Right.
And we'll do a reveal here soon. You guys may have seen some of the small workings on our page of posting a couple snapshots and
You guys have seen us working.
Little tips and tricks. But we got some stuff coming. And we definitely in this period, as he said, the feedback is the big part,
right,
that we want from you guys, to reach out and, you know, anything, any kind of feedback. We open to it all. Because we want to make sure that we got this thing structured and we're pushing it in a way that's going to resonate with everyone.
Right.
As many people as possible. I think we can't touch everyone, but being able to touch as many as we can. And we want to make sure it's structured in a way that gives the maximum impact every time.
Right.
So with that being said, we will have some things coming up for you guys to check out here soon.
Yes, yes. I mean, just to touch on what Cam was saying, we want to make sure that the show is touching on some of the important points that people want to know about and want to discuss more and want to break down. Even some of the most uncomfortable stuff, has to be delivered. And so if you can think of stuff, you got ideas, or, you know, you got conversations you think we haven't, you know, been a part of, or things that's going to overall, like, uplift the climate of social relations, you know, please send us a message, man. Let us know. And again, we definitely down with an intern, having somebody come in and support us on some of the loose ends as we get more out into the public and do more things. So let's talk about it. Let's calculate something. Let's come up with something.
Hey, hey.
So with that being said, what are we doing? We out or where we at?
We got a good two mementos. Tell us a joke, David. Tell us a joke.
Let me see. Why did the chicken? No, wait. Let me see. Wait. Let me think. Don't got no jokes. Fell off. Dropped my comedian tool. Kenyatta just liked the page. Okay. We getting some likes. And we're trying to keep the page going more because we know we can do more stuff on it. And so it's about time.
Yeah.
And we plan on doing visuals for just about every show if possible.
And if everybody can recommend the page to like three friends, you can do that where you can ask the people to like it. What is the function on there? There's a function on there where you can invite people to like the page. There we go. If every person on there can invite three people to like it, we are forever grateful for that. And we're going to be checking. We'll check.
Yeah, we will be checking.
And we might have a little something for you. So make sure you do that.
Right. We need to put another mixer together, too, so we can meet all the new people.
Yes.
You feel me?
Yeah.
We don't have to wait for a year to the second anniversary.
Yeah, because we could have did one here recently and been our year and a half mark. Maybe we should do it every 6 months.
Oh, really?
Quarterly. We can do them quarterly.
Oh, is that how they do it? Is that what
we can do? Biannual. It'll do biannual. Is that what it is? Biannual will be twice.
Oh, I'm not judging nobody. biannual. Okay. Let me see. Well, how often do how much? How often do husband and wife do it, man? They do 6 months.
They do a year.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, somebody do 6 months. And
people be forgetting.
But, you know, we'll do it when we feel like it, you know, basically. But we don't want to wait a year to meet everybody, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know,
I think maybe once every 6 months we can pull that off.
Yeah. So, yeah, we enjoy connecting in person, though, you know, and we're going to do more events and stuff and get out more. But, yeah, I can't wait to let everybody know the new plans for Calculated Conversation, man. I'm super excited about what we got cooking up. We're going to take this to the next level.
Right.
My friends.
Well, we're going to get ready to get up out of here. With that being said, you guys are the dopest.
Yes.
We are Calculated Conversation.
That's right.
And now we are off air.
And remember to find us.
All the places.
All the platforms.
Calculated.
And now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor, my behavior is hereditary. But my technique is very necessary. Blame it on Ice Cube, because he said it get funky. When you got a subject and a predicate, add it on a dope beat, and it'll make you think. Some suckers just tickle me pink to my stomach, cause they don't flow like this one. You know what? I won't hesitate to diss one or two before I'm through, so don't try to sing this. Some drop science, well I'm dropping English. Even if Yella makes it a cappella, I still express yo, I don't smoke weed or sex. Cause it's known to give a brother brain damage, and brain damage on the mic don't manage nothing but making a sucker in you equal. Don't be another sequel. Spread yourself. For the pop chart, so where should a brother like you start expressing yourself, my boy, and show you how your track,
what up,
drop English right about now. Getting back to the PG, that's program, and it's easy. Dre is back, new jacks are made hollow, expressing ain't the subject because they like to follow the...
This is KBOO Portland.
Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday.